just a town. Just because we get around. They take the hook off of I die before it get old.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com or tweet at Bruce Salin. As I said earlier, I'm happy to introduce a new regular segment to our show, Family Financial Matters with Jim Scheinberg. What issue is more pressing on most families than money, especially given our times? We will cover a variety of money-related issues in this segment with obviously a focus on the family. I would like to introduce Jim Scheinberg, who is the managing partner of North Pier Fiduciary Management. He received his certified investment management and analyst designation from the Wharton School of Business. He's been advising institutions and families on their investments for over 20 years, and he has been my personal and family's financial advisor for almost that long as well, so I can offer my personal endorsement without question to him and his company, North Pier Fiduciary Management. Welcome back, Jim.
Good to be on today, Bruce.
This is our second segment. We're going to be like family soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's settling in like a comfortable old easy chair.
Well, we've known each other long enough it's no surprise, and I really love that you are now part of the show. The evolution of technology is kind of what we've been talking about and its impact on our lives. And when you got the column, you thought it would be value to look back at how investing has changed over the years, and I think that's a great idea, and how families need to look at it now versus maybe how they looked at it before.
Yeah, there's no question, especially just in the time that you and I have known each other, that there's been a massive change in not just the types of investments that people and families are utilizing, but the terminology, and for that matter, it's simply the technology that's being used in order to, if you will, plan and allocate the family fortunes.
You mentioned in the 70s and 80s in your note to me when we prepped for the show that we used to buy stocks and bonds from a broker, and it was all commission and transaction-based, and I remember my parents, and they would actually have the certificates. They would have the actual stocks and keep it in a safe deposit box. And the transactions were, you know, very few and far between. So it is obviously changed to such a huge degree with the ability for an individual to literally buy and sell themselves, although I would not advise that unless you're incredibly well versed in what's going on. But your take on how it's changed.
I remember when I first got in the business in 1989 that when you were working with a municipal bond, that some of the more mature buyers wouldn't allow you or be interested in purchasing what were known as book entry bonds. Those were bonds that you actually wouldn't get a certificate and coupons for. So it was held at the municipality, or the state of California in this case, and they were scared of that concept that they wouldn't be able to touch the paper and clip those coupons. It's changed quite a bit, Bruce.
That is very funny. Well, I know my grandfather, he took great pride in actually having those fancy printed stock certificates.
Yep. Well, it's obviously changed quite a bit. We've accelerated all the way through to the point of where you can buy and sell shares of eBay like you're buying them on eBay in online brokers, and you can do it in a matter of seconds instead of getting your certificate. So clearly technology has had a big impact, but just the actual the vehicles that people use have gone through quite a metamorphosis since the 70s and the 80s. In the late 80s and the 90s, people started to invest in mutual funds instead of individual stocks and bonds.
Is that when mutual funds began, or were they just became a bigger thing?
Mutual funds have been around for 50, 60, 70 years, but they really didn't take hold to the mass to the mass market until really the late 80s, 90s was when you started to see the average family start to accumulate mutual fund shares.
And what do you attribute that change to?
Well, I think technology may have had something to do with it, but plain and simple, there were some regulatory changes, some pricing changes that made them more accessible to the brokers that were selling them. And furthermore, the advent of the 401k plan in the late 80s, actually a little earlier than that, but it didn't really take hold until the late 80s, got people familiar with the concept of having to place their investments in these mutual funds through their retirement plans. And so, of course, they started to seek those investments outside as well.
Very interesting. A little history lesson I did not know. You also mentioned to me, and again, something I didn't know, that the dawn of the advisor versus just the broker and that whole different fee structure is only 10 to 15 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we started working as advisors back in the early 90s and working with money managers. But even mutual funds started to have different share classes that were advisor share classes that would pay a 1% fee per year for advice instead of the 5% commissions that were customary in the day for point of sale and then no advice. But this concept of the quote-unquote advisor came on somewhere in the mid-90s and beyond. And then that's gone through continual evolution as well. And there's a lot of confusion around that term,
well,
advisor.
Please, people, okay, I want to stop you. I mean, for the fiscal dummy that I sometimes feel I am, what the heck is the difference between a stockbroker and an advisor?
Well, it's very important that your listeners ask that question, because there's a lot of people working with brokers that think they're working with advisors because that's the name on the business card. There's actually a very specific difference between a broker and a registered investment advisor, which is the term the Securities and Exchange Commission uses. A broker is a person who is charged with selling something to their clients that is suitable and appropriate for their state of life and their needs and objectives. But that doesn't mean that they have to put their client's interest in front of theirs. In other words, they can be compensated in the form of fees or commissions or a combination of the two and just do what is appropriate for their client. Whereas an actual advisor, a registered investment advisor, is acting as a fiduciary for their client. They are actually representing their client's best interest and must put their client's interest ahead of theirs, both legally and structurally. And those organizations, and our organization, because we're a registered investment advisor, only work for a fee for service. And then there's, of course, now a lot of confusion because a lot of the Wall Street firms have these kind of hybrids where they have broker advisors who sometimes they're working as a broker and sometimes they're working as an advisor. And unless you ask, you may not know.
Well, I think actually, as we're running out of time, that is the key thing that too many people don't do. And technology doesn't help or hurt this, but you need to ask questions. You need to be active in your financial management and not be passive. And to me, that's the biggest lesson out of this segment, actually, as I'm picking up on it.
Yeah, there's no question that, I mean, and obviously we've all learned in the Bernie Madoff era now that due diligence is an important step in the equation. But plain and simple, as an investor, you are responsible for making sure you understand exactly how you are engaging the people who give you advice or deliver products and services to you. It's a very simple question that your listeners can learn to ask, which is, are you acting as a broker right now, or are you acting as a registered investment advisor, or both? And if the answer is both, it's really important to get very clear on where one line starts and another one stops.
On that note, Jim, please tell our listeners where they can get in touch with you and North Pier.
Absolutely, Bruce. Well, they can learn more about North Pier on our website at www.npier.com. That's N as in North, P-I-E-R.com. And if they want any information on our firm, or they want to learn more about how to tell the differences, we actually have a due diligence guide that we'd be happy to send out for free. They're more than welcome to send us an email at info@npier.com.
I might add that you also have a really terrific quarterly newsletter that is free and available to our listeners, so they should write to info@npier.com for that as well.
Yeah, that'll be coming out very soon, Bruce.
Thank you, Jim. Look forward to talking to you next week. It is time for another break. This is Bruce Salen of The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We will be back after these messages.
Do not mess with Mr. In Between. No, no. Do not mess with Mr. In Between. It's a Bible to day do day do day do day do day do day do day. You dig.
positively dig.
Yeah!